oversaturated, oversaturated, oversaturated.
The podcast.
Oversaturated.
Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, pop culture, and everything in between. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode number 80.
80! Kellen Winslow.
Okay, what sport? Tell me what sport.
Football. He's an NFL tight end. He was a Hall of Famer. And he graduated from East St. Louis Senior High School.
Oh, it's lit. That's dope. Well, what team did he play for?
San Diego Chargers. That's why nobody really knows about it. He's great. He's great.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. So yeah, that's what's up. That's dope. New listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast, and our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to check out our website, oversatthepod.com. Anything you need to know about Oversaturated is there.
Yes, sir. And if you want to follow us individually, I am the Mind of Raph on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram, I'm JBS_ESL_AAMU. Twitter, I'm JON2_B.
Johnny, my brother, is been 2 weeks now, another OS chapter is closed.
Facts.
I have to ask you, how are you doing?
Let me tell you, first of all, shout out to all accountants across the country. Tax day has passed. Even though we are still in a pandemic, we can breathe a sigh of relief now because we don't have as much work to do anymore. So turn up to all the accountants. Hey, let's get it.
Yeah, pretty much it was a lot of drugs consumed in the past 2 days. our public accountants.
I know not of what you speak.
I didn't say you.
I'm just saying. I don't know that because I'm at home. I'm not sure about my accounting friends. Maybe. I don't know.
True.
And also, I've gotten back on the tennis court, and that has been amazing. I found a group of people to play with in East St. Louis. So every Sunday we on the courts getting it. So that has me feeling really good, both physically and mentally. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I've been kind of getting back active myself. Like, I was like, man, I need to utilize this basement space I got. So I've just been down there doing calisthenics and stuff like that, just getting a groove back. Like, I tried going to the gym with the mask on. That's not the move. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm big. I can't be out here with a mask. It's already hard trying to breathe, bro. Like, and I'm in the gym with it? Oh, no, fam.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Listen, I don't know if I'm going back to the gym, like, this year. Like, I can't do
man.
It.
You know me, man. One thing I prided myself on, I was in the gym heavy. Like, I was in there heavy, and then just a year had gone and feel like all my progress is just kind of, went away. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, now I'm trying to get back to it because I was a gym freak, like 4 days a week, easy. Like, that was light work.
Yeah,
now, I know. Now it's just like, the strength I guarantee you is probably still there, but it's just like the form and the way my body is now is like the good thing came all the way. I'm like, man, bro, I was slim off this bitch, man.
You was Ralphie the Body out here. I remember.
I know, man, but Ralphie the Body is a mind frame, baby. Mindset, baby. Oh, like, he never goes away. But
as far as
like, the body matching up to the mindset, we'll get there. But but you know what, man? We off that, man. Off the dome.
Off the dome.
I want to go first, bro.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
So, like I told you in pre-prod, I've been sitting on this, right? So, so I don't know if you've seen the movie Uncorked. I think is what it's called on Netflix.
Heard of it, never watched it.
Yeah, so I watched it a few months back when it came out. It's about a black guy who wants to become, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, a sommelier, a connoisseur of wine, a person that is an expert on wine, basically.
Okay.
And in this movie, he goes to Paris. He does like an internship in Paris. So when they go to Paris, you know how they play music like in the background to match the aesthetics of the scene or whatever.
Yeah.
They played a French, I'm gonna call it hip hop song because that's what it sounded like. It was a French hip hop song. I think it's called Grand Garçon. And she was dope. Like I Shazammed it and everything, and now it's in my rotation. Mm-hmm. The entire song is in French. I have no clue what they're saying, but it's still dope. So it got me to thinking about other songs in foreign languages that I actually like. So I want to ask you, do you have a favorite song that's in another language?
Off top, I'm going to tell you, like, I think we talked about this, like, probably sometime last year, but it was an African rapper named Burna Boy that I really became a fan of. Mm-hmm. His album, African Giant, was really, really good. Mm. Now, I can tell you, I don't really know, you know, I don't even know the African language or dialect that he's speaking in or rapping in, I should say. But, I mean, the melodies are there. And if I can, you know, rock with some of the littles, you know, I can rock with this because the melodies are kind of similar. And then he does have a song with Future, which is like partial English, you know, for him. Yeah. So I thought, you know, I rock with that sound. But as far as like maybe like a European sound, like I don't really know too many songs, you know, like, you know, outside of that. Nah.
Gotcha. One of my favorites, this French duo, two black ladies. Mm-hmm. Their name, their group name was Les Nubians. Mm-hmm. L-E-S Nubians. Mm-hmm. They have a song called Makeda.
Okay.
Now I think this is like maybe early to mid 90s when it came out. But the vibe of the song is like it makes you feel good. I have no clue what they're saying at all, but their sound, the the production of the song, like it just feels good. So I would encourage everybody to look that song up if you don't know it. Les Nubians, Makeda. It's a dope song.
I feel it's a world vibe. Like, you know, one thing, you just go to the world section on your favorite streaming platform. I'm not going to say which one, but I know on Apple Music they have it. I'm pretty sure everybody does. Yeah. But, you know, go to the world music, just hit a playlist or something. That's what I do sometimes when I just want to kind of, you know, filter out new music. Yeah. I think that's how I came across Burna Boy, to be it. Keep it a buck.
Gotcha. So, that's dope.
But yeah, man. Oh, man, for my off the dome, I want to ask you something. It's kind of a simple question, mm-hmm. but I just want to see where your mind takes you when it goes here. Okay. If you had a choice, would you change the past or would you prefer to know the future? Mm.
So just off the top of my head, I would say change the past. This is actually something I've thought about quite often. Like if I could go back to my college years, like and everything, like just go back in time, I would tell myself, like, you gotta find a way to invest whatever little money you have into like these stocks, Walmart, Amazon, because today Apple, all of these stocks are priced above $200-$300 a share. I think Amazon is at like $1,000 a share. Amazon shit used to be super cheap. $5, $10, $15 a share. Like, if I was able to like invest in those stocks back then, and then if I had to have them blow up the way that they have, I would be set. I wouldn't even need this job.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's crazy. Well, and that's, you know, and that's just financial shit. It's a whole lot of other shit I would do different as well. Like,
I feel that too. Like, I'm actually gonna go on the other side of it. I say I preferably would know the future. I want to see kind of like, I know, you know, it's scary to know when you actually die, because I think that's the first thing that when people will say knowing the future, like, I don't want to see, you know, death.
Yeah.
But, you know, to know where your life will kind of end up in 5 to 10 years. Am I close to my goals? Am I, you know, like what, you know, what can I kind of switch up before I get there?
Yeah.
Like that's the type of mindset I would think of, like with knowing the future. Like the tricky thing with changing the past, right? You will hope that you can keep the same mindset that you have in the present while changing past stuff. Like, because like, say if I go back and I, you know, let's just stick to the financial stuff. If I go back to the past and I know all these quirky things that can get me money in the future, do I have the same mindset about spending and habits and budgeting and all that, you know, right now? Like, if I get money young, like, my life probably would be a completely different. That's just me thinking like that. Because, you know, we watch all these time travel movies. You're not supposed to fuck with the past, baby. Like,
you seen that? Seen that shit in Infinity War? Look, he got the Infinity Stones from a specific time, but he had to put them shits back. He had to put them back. So I get it.
One ripple throws off everything. But I would prefer to kind of know what's coming a little bit. Mm-hmm. Death is inevitable, but you know, I'll get over that. But to see where your life ends up in 20, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, man.
Nick, like I respect that. But again, just like going to the past could have either a positive or negative effect, going to the future could have the same type of effect. It's like, how would that affect the way that you are in the present? It can either motivate you to, okay, oh, I know I'm going to be here. Like, okay, let me work quicker to get there. So maybe when I get to that point in the future, it's even better. Or you could see yourself in the future nowhere near where you thought you would be. And that could be devastating. It's like, oh, I'm still not going nowhere. Let me just start fucking up even more now. Like, it's adverse effects.
No, I'm with you. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's no right or wrong answer, really. Mm-hmm. But just to see, you know.
That's what's up. I respect it, though. I respect it. Damn, I want to go back to college or so bad. Jeez. I think about that quite often, to be honest with you. There's a lot of shit I've been doing different.
It's pivotal years, man.
For real. People tell you those are like the best years of your life, but you don't really believe them. And then it's like, you kicking it, but you really got to think about the future as well. It's like, it sets you up. It really does set you up. Well,
you know, those years, let's just say 18 to 23, right? Mm-hmm. That's really your bridge to adulthood. And, you know, your foundation is really set in those years. Like, you can always, you know, do other things. You can change things up. But those are like, you're still young. You can still play around. You still do, you know, fuck up and do all that. But after probably about, let's just say 25, like, you know, life starts getting a little bit more real.
Yeah, for real. For real, man. It's crazy.
But yeah, but no, man. Thanks, man. And that was Off the Dome. Listeners, if you have a dope song that's worldly, you know, that's not in English, let us know what you think about, you know, what's your favorite song like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you could change the past or know the future, which one would you rock
with? Which one would you pick?
Yeah. But now, we back to the pull-up. The pull-up is the, you know, the great OS segment where I allow Johnny to pick the topics that hit the OS news desk. We're going to find out if he pulls up on it or keeps it moving. First topic, we got a versus battle, man. What we going to do? Pull up on it?
Let's pull up on it.
Hey, man. We got two legends getting in the ring, man. We got Darkman X versus Snoop Dogg or DMX. I could just say DMX, but I want to say it's full rap.
I got you.
But yeah, versus battle 20 hits, man. DMX has been calling out suitors for the past month or so. First it was Jay-Z, then it was Eminem, but now Snoop Dogg is the legend that peeped his head out. Johnny, your thoughts?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. When I first saw this, when I first saw it, I was super excited. Like, oh, this is all right. Two legends, two icons in hip hop going at it. Like, this is dope. This is probably the biggest versus battle as far as names, I feel like, so far.
I agree.
So at the beginning, I was like, oh, this shit gonna be fire. Then I got to thinking, I don't really, like, I feel like Snoop Dogg has too deep of a catalog to go against DMX. Like, Snoop Dogg's catalog is deep, like, super deep. Like, Snoop Dogg has produced hits in different decades. Multiple decades. I'm talking about bangers. Like, and I don't mean just strictly hip hop either. He got street shit. He got shit for the ladies. He got R&B. Like, it's not too many people that can go against Snoop, bro. Like, I'm sorry.
It's a certain class of people that we can talk about that can go against Snoop. And DMX sadly is not one of them.
And this is no disrespect to DMX, because DMX got some shit too. But like, Snoop shit is just too deep. It's too deep.
I think DMX would probably be better suited against like a 50 Cent or something. which we'll probably get to a little bit later, but I feel like they have short runs, like, but they were on top of the game, undeniably probably the best rappers at a point, right?
Right.
Like 50 DMX, like boom, right?
Yeah.
But Snoop, like you said, that catalog can get deep and it can get bad for a man. Like
Snoop can just pull shit from the 90s and be good. That's not even talk about 2000, 2010 shit.
And then we still got features.
Still got, like, all right, come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing?
And the thing is, I love X, man. I love X. I respect him. 10 songs, he might have a chance. But no, we talking about 20, bro. Like, it's too
much.
Like, he got songs that's kind of like a sneaky hit. You remember I Wanna Rock, where he sampled that joint?
Yes. And
flipped the beat? That can beat something. Like, that. He can play Sensual. I hope he doesn't play Sensual.
You know he gonna play Sensual too.
But that was a big hit for Snoop.
It was.
It was a big hit for Snoop.
Whoa. Like, come on, man. Hey. I'm definitely tuning in, but Snoop shit is just too deep. It's too deep.
And it's on a Wednesday, so it's really no, you know. it's funny, like, y'all put that versus on a Wednesday. Now, I'm gonna definitely tune in for the culture, but I think Snoop got it clear, man. Like, yeah. I just think he got it clear, man. It might be like a 14-7 type joint. Like, it might be bad for X.
Listen.
Like, Snoop might just throw some tracks out there and it's a rap. But yeah, it's like so many directions, because like when Snoop was getting his second win, X was fizzling out, right?
Yeah.
Like the beautifuls of the world, the drop is like it's hot of the world, even drop it like it's hot remix. Like, it's so much, like, you, bruh.
Come on, man. Listen.
He can play Down For My Niggas. I don't know if I said that already, but he can play Down For My Niggas. You know he was on there, right?
Damn, like toward the end, right?
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying
because whenever I hear that song,
you don't hear his verses.
So he gotta have like one of the later verses. So it's like
he does.
People forgot he was on that shit. Like, it's crazy. It's nuts, man. I'm sorry, X, but come on, man. Come on.
We try to be fair with these things, man. But yeah. Nah. And I gave X a better chance in other verses than I did with this one. But it's like when you start thinking about catalogs, right? Yeah.
His shit. Snoop literally has too many decades, too many genres. He has just too much to pull from.
The feature bag kills a lot of people, because the next episode, right?
Yeah.
Nothing But a G Thing, right? Like, it can get bad. Like, it can get bad. He can do IMP, and you know I don't like that song, but he can play it.
I still fuck with P.I.B. But anyway.
Right, we spent enough time. You're just mad at this shit. I mean, sounds like. But anyway.
Yeah.
Next topic.
Moving on.
Hey, we got another versus topic. Man. Hey, your boy Tip, man. What are we doing?
We pulling up on this because
Well, hey, man. Your boy T.I. Tip, Clifford Harris, whatever you want to call him. Want smoke in a versus battle. He's actually called out 50 Cent. It's been an interesting, you know, campaign from Tip these past, you know, what, 2 weeks, right?
Gotta be, yeah, about two weeks.
It's been an interesting campaign. He's been calling out 50. 50 ain't, you know, 50 ain't Biden. I just want to know, Johnny, what are your thoughts?
50 ain't Biden because he don't want that smoke. 50 don't want this T.I. smoke. If we really keep it in 100 right now, similar to Snoop, now not on the same caliber as Snoop, but similar to Snoop, T.I. has a very large catalog for this particular battle to pull from.
I agree.
50 Cent does not.
Yeah. Now I'll say this, right? I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, just all against 50 Cent. 50 Cent has, you know, undoubtedly one of the best hip-hop albums of all time.
Oh, 100%.
Right. But I feel like he has such a deep impact when he first came out, and it's kind of like, that's it. And people, other podcasts and other media platforms and other, you know, timeline jargon has been that 50 can use mixtape stuff, he can use G-Unit stuff. Y'all don't realize, like, T.I. had a way better run than 50 Cent. Like 100%. Like T.I.'s run, like it's like he has five dope albums, right? Now, if you want to say, you know, classics or whatever, I don't really throw around that term, but five dope, undeniable albums. 50 has one dope album. And he did not do a lot of features with a lot of people either. Whereas T.I. did a features with damn near everybody.
That's right.
I think T.I.'s hit catalog is deeper than 50.
It is deeper. It's 100% deeper.
Like you alluded to with Snoop, right? It's so many bags you can jump in. The trap bag, the girl bag, the posse cut bag. What do you want from him? Because he has that.
Fam, T.I. has a fire. You remember B.O.B. song, Bet I? I don't know if you're familiar with this song. Bet I?
Oh, I bet I was. Yeah. I remember that now.
T.I.'s verse on that song, fucking fire. Mm-hmm. What 50 Cent gonna play when that's played? Nothing. Like,
I just know 50's hits and T.I.'s hits don't match up. Like, I don't want to hear nobody talk about mixtape shit. Fuck that, because I ain't heard nobody play no mixtape stuff on these verses. And if he did, that it's not gonna hold up. It's not. And
Jada, I think Jada and Fab did, but that's like a whole nother.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Though.
But 50 can fuck around and play that bullshit if you want to.
Get his ass smoked.
Spank. All right. And I think that's why he ducking.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly why he ducking.
Now, my problem is Curtis Jackson, like, is a terrorist to hip hop. He fucks with any and everybody, right? There's nobody that 50 doesn't fuck with. That's why people always joke, like, we're reminded that 50 Cent got shot 9 times because he's always messing with somebody. But it was funny when he wanted to, you know, have the verses with Ja Rule. I'm not sure if it was Ja calling him out or 50 was calling out Ja to do a
verse. I don't know if either one of them actually called each other out. I think that was just the media. I mean,
Okay. But it was funny when that was happening. But now 50 Cent with Dust T.I., fuck no.
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. I want people to stop it. Stop hating, please. Listen. I think it's because T.I. is a Southern rapper. He's a Southern rapper.
That's it. For whatever reason, it seems as if people still don't put the type of respect on Atlanta as an ecosystem of hip-hop as they should. Now, today, ooh, like in the 2000s, I'm saying, like, real shit. But I feel like we've talked about this a bunch of times previously. Like, Atlanta really has been running the rap game for an extended period.
50 was the last great New York MC. And I didn't research that. I just feel that's just a gut feeling. Anybody come after 50 that made waves for real?
And if we talking strictly rap, see, this could be an entire topic on its own. And if we talking strictly rap, T.I. is the better rapper than 50.
Oh,
like, if we talking rap, if we're talking just like,
I'm with you, brother. Like, I like T.I., like, remember when we did, like, our top 10, top 15, rap list or something like that? T.I. was in my top 10. People laughed at that. No, Tip has a great catalog. Like, talking about catalog-wise? Oh, he does a lot of these niggas. I want to hear that. I really don't. It's just the fact that he's from Atlanta and he's crazy and country as hell. People do not want to give that man his flowers. But he undoubtedly ran rap for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't want to hear, like, you know, they did, you know, like, 50 did a song with Justin Timberlake. Well, T.I.'s song was better.
Way better. Way better.
My love is getting anything 50 Cent plays, like, as far as, like, the girl tracks. The fuck up out of here. I don't want to hear that.
100%. So
Even Hey, Let's Get Away would kind of get, you know, Best Friend up out of here, in my opinion.
See, all right, man. Next topic.
That's how you know I know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's not rooted in bias. But anyway. The next topic, man, we got like some kind of beef smoke going on, man. It's some Pusha T stuff. Are we talking about this? Are we pulling up?
No, we keep that moving.
I got another. It looks like the Breakfast Club is nominated for an award. Are we pulling up on that?
Yeah, let's pull up on it.
Okay, well, the Breakfast Club, that's been in inception for 10 years now. They actually have been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame Award. Johnny, any thoughts on that?
That's dope. As much as we like to shit on a Breakfast Club as a unit, I mean, as a black community.
As a culture.
Yeah, as a culture. There you go. As a culture. The fact that they've been able to sustain their radio show for this long, that's an accomplishment. Because I don't know how, like, besides, like, the Tom Joyners, Steve Harveys of the world, I don't know any I don't know of any urban nationally syndicated radio shows that have been on this long. So for them to get nominated for their work over these last 10 years, I think it's amazing. It's dope to me. I love it.
Just to be in the conversation is enough, right? It can be gratifying because, you know, DJ Envy being a DJ, Angela Yee and Charlamagne being media personalities that they are, just kind of came together, and they have undoubtedly ran radio.
Yeah.
And transitioning into the internet age the way that they have.
What?
And yes. Still being number one, like, that speaks volume. So, you know, we may not always agree with what they say or do over there. It's been a lot of fuckery, but I think that their impact and what they've been able to do outweighed the fuckery, right? Because they have literally grown as people. Like, we watched them grow. Like, Charlamagne used to you know, when he first, like, when they first got on, oh, it was different. But Charlamagne is a completely different person now.
Yeah.
And Envy's had his moments, like the Deezus and Meryl stuff. Oh, and Angela Yee has had run-ins with, like, K. Michelle and Gucci Mane. Like, it's been issues up there. It's like, and then culturally significant moments. Like, even if it wasn't meant to be significant, it was funny as hell. Birdman, right? That whole situation, Monique going up there, going off on Charlamagne, like stuff like that. The culture is like kind of filtered through the Breakfast Club. And for whatever it's worth, I am so happy. I'm so proud of them because, like, I can see our, you know, us being there. So it's like, be happy for those that are on top, because one day that could be you.
They're walking so we can run type shit.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Like, damn. The fact that you mentioned them transitioning to the internet age, like, that, I think that speaks volumes, because I feel like a lot of people got lost in translation when that happened. But it seemed like they seamlessly transitioned all of that from going doing podcasts to YouTube, like all of that stuff. It's like,
yes, sir.
They found their way to reach the audience when the audience shifted to other platforms. Like,
yeah, because, like, have you ever, like, before they become, like, you know, heavily syndicated, how did you listen to The Breakfast Club?
Shit, I didn't. And when I first started, I feel like I had, like, the Hot 97 app, and I listened on there sometimes. Or whatever.
104.
Well, 104. Whatever it was.
But no, the thing is, no, it's just like, no, what I was alluding to, that I caught wind because of YouTube.
Okay, gotcha.
That's how I looked at those interviews that way. I never, you know, they weren't on the radio here in St. Louis yet. Like, right. They weren't syndicated yet. Now they're syndicated. So if you want to cut on your, you know, your favorite iHeart station, they're damn near everywhere.
Yep.
That was before then. So, like, I was a fan of them because of YouTube. Not because of the radio stuff. I never heard DJ Envy spin before then, you know.
Right. Never heard any of their actual, like, radio shit. Just
strictly interviews. So, no, man, I think it's dope, man. I salute to them, man.
Shit's amazing, man.
All right. Facts. Next topic. What we got here? Oh, man. This is a big one. I hope you don't skip it, man. We got a Wildin' Out headline. Are we pulling up on
that? Let's pull up.
Well, hey, man, it's been a crazy couple days. I'm actually happy we recorded now, because we probably would have missed some of this.
Right.
But Nick Cannon had went on his podcast and had some anti-Semitic remarks that kind of ruffled the people's feathers down at Viacom CBS. So they have immediately terminated his role on Wildin' Out and I think the other properties that he's involved in too. I don't think it's everything. I think he still was able to keep The Masked Singer or whatever he
does. That's on Fox. That's not Viacom. That's on.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Glad you cleared that up. But nonetheless, Johnny, your thoughts, brother.
I really don't know where to begin with this. Mm-hmm. First of all, shout out to Nick Cannon.
Yeah, salute to Nick Cannon. Yeah.
Nick Cannon has, for, I'm just going to say 20 years, been, he's been made fun of. He's been called corny. Even when he's been, I want to say, behind the scenes pushing the culture forward, he's done a lot for the culture, I would say. He's put a lot of people on. He has created one of the longest running, best improv shows in TV history. Like, we really gotta acknowledge that. Wild and Out is one of the best improv shows ever. And the fact that it's still going, how many careers were launched off of that, like, is amazing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that, because Nick Cannon has a lot of platforms. He does radio. He has a podcast. He hosts of all these TV shows. He works. He does a lot. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that he gets on one of his own platforms that he owns, mm-hmm. that he does on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He makes he makes these comments about mm-hmm. white people and black people, mm-hmm. and the people who employ him.
Mm-hmm.
Take those comments out of context, because those are the people that he's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And because they employ him, they can just terminate him when they feel like it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were upset with him. I think they were upset with the words that came out of his mouth. It's like, oh, how dare you go against something that, you know, mm-hmm. that we are, basically.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that did happen. I'm mm-hmm. not upset with Nick Cannon for what he said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what he said to me kind of made sense. So mm-hmm. I'm not, like, Nick Cannon was not in the wrong here at all. And mm-hmm. he even said he tried to call maybe like the CEO or somebody that's at the top of the food chain over there at Viacom. Mm-hmm. And they declined it. Like, they rejected his call. Like, they didn't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So he even tried to talk to them to say, hey, if it's something I said, maybe it was misunderstood, I want to apologize, because he made this long Facebook post about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand with Nick. Like, it's mm-hmm. unfortunate that he got fired. He mm-hmm. shouldn't have. I feel like he shouldn't have been fired.
Mm-hmm. I'm of the thought of, like, hey man, you can say whatever the hell you want to. Like, I'm with Nick, but the thing is, you can't tell people how to be, if they can be offended or not, you know. Let me finish.
Okay,
this,
you're right. You got it.
I know we're so invested because it's Nick Cannon, right? Yeah. But if this is a white guy that says something about black people, would be up in arms, right?
Mm, yeah.
That's the thing, because okay. we have seen people get canceled for less. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, they go on these radio shows. Like, I ain't talking about Rush Limbaugh's of the world. I'm talking about, like, other people, right? It's just like, you know, these shock jocks, they say what they want. And if they get into a certain space, they get in hot water. They, you know, I haven't seen anybody get fired, though. But they definitely get a slap on the hand. They get reprimanded. I just don't know if fired was like a big, you know, like, you canceled, like, so, I mean, you fire somebody that really has, like, a imprint, and they've done a lot of great things. And, you know, they started this Wildin' Out brand from virtually nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not upset at Nick for saying what he said. And I'm not upset at them for, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're kind of out of here, buddy. Like, I really don't see anything wrong with it, because I feel like if he was a white guy, they would have did this. I mean, we would have got mad and something would happen. It's just that, you know, it's you can't tell Jewish people how to feel. You know, if we said some wild stuff, even if I agree with Nick, I ain't say I disagree with him.
Yeah, right.
I see the side of, I mean, I see it from both sides. That's all I'm saying with it.
You know, I'm not mad at it. And I guess my Nick Cannon bias, if that's the thing.
I wasn't
looking at it from Viacom's perspective.
We're invested in Nick. Like, you know, personally, we're invested in it. But at the same time, if it was a white boy that went out here and said some wild stuff about black people on this platform, we'd have been so mad. Even if we don't listen to this shit, we would have got him fired. Like,
but what that, if? That's but what happen. If it's the truth though? Like,
I'm not saying you trying to justify it.
I am. I really. I am. I ain't gonna lie.
He shouldn't have said it though. but he can say whatever he wants to. I'm not, the thing is, I'm not scolding him for saying it. Like, Nick Cannon is a big industry giant. He can say what he wants.
But just be prepared.
But for the consequences, that's all. But I didn't know that he, now one thing, I'm not even on that no more. I think the wildest thing that I found out, no pun intended, was that he doesn't own Wildin' Out.
Same.
That's the thing that blew me. I was like, so we've been fucking with this show for 15 years. He is the face. No one else can host this. He doesn't own it? That's
insane.
That was wild to me.
But he created it. Nick Cannon created it. So the fact that the fact that he doesn't own it is insane. It's really crazy. Now, I truly hope that he can somehow retain ownership of it, because that shit on like a streaming platform, if I can have Wildin' Out uncensored, shit's gonna be amazing. Mm-hmm. It's gonna run for even 15 more years. Like,
yeah,
it's like, dope. I mean, it'll be dope.
Like, I don't watch it in real time. Like, I catch the clips on YouTube.
Yeah, same.
Like,
same.
I'm subscribed to it. That's how I get down to Wildin' Out. So, you know, that's how I consume it. So that's dope to me. But I would like for maybe, like, you know, I think even Diddy tweeted it out, like, you know, come to Revolt.
Revolt, yeah.
But I don't even think it's that easy, though. But, you know, because I think Nick would like to keep the show as is and keep the name. He doesn't want to change anything. Like, you don't want to go through a rebrand. Like, if I could just switch networks, cool. All right, Viacom, we had a good time here. Yeah. But, you know, let me go here with Revolt. And Revolt can provide, I would hope, the same things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be... And of course, this is not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a legal battle, but I really hope that Nick Cannon can get the ownership of Wildin' Out, because it's such a staple to the culture. Like, Wildin' Out started with Cat Williams on the cast. Mm-hmm. Like, think about that. Like, that's insane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It launched Carlos Miller, Chico, DC Young Fly. Like, they have 85 South Show now, which is its own entity. Like, that shit is huge now. Like, who knows what else could come of this?
Right.
Just putting this talent on her is dope.
Right. I blame B. Simone, though. Somehow it's her fault.
I got nothing, but
this just kind of circling back real quick before we leave. I don't want anybody to think that I'm Nick Cannon bashing, but I just want people to kind of see the other side of that coin. But it's just, I feel like, you know, you can say what you want, but be prepared for those consequences or whatever comes of that, even if you feel like you're speaking your truth, you know.
And I usually try to see her from the other perspective as well, but my Nick Cannon bias got in the way. I can admit that.
Yeah. The first time I was like, yeah, talk this shit. But then again, hey, it is what it is. Next topic. I don't know if you would say this is a Black Lives Matter topic, but, you know, are we pulling up on that, or you want to keep it moving?
We can keep it moving.
We got an MCU Black Panther joint headline. We pulling up on that?
Yeah, let's pull up on that.
Well, a lot of rumors have been flying around. Black Panther 2 is in development. Not in filming, but development. Janelle Monáe has been rumored to be cast for Storm in Black Panther 2. Johnny, react.
You know, I don't know if I've seen Janelle Monáe in too many acting roles.
You haven't seen Hidden Figures?
I haven't seen Hidden Figures.
Okay.
Does she have the look for it? Yes. I'm not certain about her acting skills. I don't know if she can act or not. I don't know.
Well, what precedent do you have for the person that plays Storm that will make you feel that she can't?
I guess there's nothing about the character Storm that tells me that Janelle Monáe would not be able to play it. If she can fake an African accent for an entire movie, all right. But can she do that and act out the role, though? It's like, I don't know.
It depends on what they have her doing, because this is not an X-Men movie, so maybe it's not too much she has to do.
Right, she might not even be in the movie that much. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you, though, because, like, at least in this iteration of what Black Panther is going to bring for Storm. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to probably have the accent because in previous, you know, versions of the character, at least for the other X-Men movies, they have always been, you know, Americanized, English speaking. And that's not true to I would say that's not true to comic, right?
Correct.
So with, you know, with Janelle Monáe, I mean, I think she got the look. I think she can knock it out. Because, I mean, I've seen her in other stuff outside of Hidden Figures. I was trying to look up something real quick. But Hidden Figures was like a great breakout role for her.
Nice. Yeah, man. I'm listen, I'm not mad at the, I don't know if it's a rumor. Oh. Or not. I'm
okay. She was in Moonlight. That's what it was.
Ah, gotcha.
But those are the only two movies I've seen her. She's been in other stuff, but Moonlight and Hidden Figures. Those are the, you know, where I think she can pull it off. However, the reason it's a rumor is because she said she talked to Ryan Coogler about it, who's the director. Mm-hmm. So just kind of like those backdoor conversations, that's where the rumors started.
Yeah. I'm definitely not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. I'm just, I have nothing to go off of to think that she can pull it off is all I'm saying. But then again, there's nothing telling me that she can't. So I don't know.
I was about to say Halle Berry and Alexandria Shipp.
Yeah.
My point is that.
Yeah, man. And see, now it got me thinking, are there any, and forgive me for asking this because I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of any. Are there any Black women action stars? No. Actresses. Okay. No. Okay, so
no.
I'm not tripping.
And that was kind of a quick answer, but I would just say no.
Cause yeah, off the top of my head, I mean strictly like action. Like, I know there have been Black actresses that have played in action movies, but that's not their genre. It's more like drama, suspense type.
The only person that can probably fit that mold of actress that you're referring to is already in the MCU, and that's Zoe Saldana.
Gotcha.
And she's not, you know, fully African American, but you know, I think she's Afro Latina, but
okay.
Still. Yeah. She's already in the MCU. So right. Be, you know, can't double back, right? So
Thanks.
Matter of fact, I think that she does, because she had Colombiana. Like, she has movies where, you know, I think I've never seen Avatar. And you can, I don't know if people will kill me for that. I've never seen Avatar, but I think like that she had to do like live stunts, you know, for her CGI and that shit.
Avatar was a good movie. It's just long.
Then not to mention how she got down to Guardians of the Galaxy. So
yeah, true.
But she can play Storm, but hey, she already got her role. She all right.
Thanks. Yeah, she going to be in Guardians 3, so we all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. Shout out to Janelle.
Yeah, shout out to Janelle Monáe, a true queen. But nah, man, you know she's dating what's my girl?
Tessa Thompson.
The one that put, yeah.
Yeah. They both damn in MCU. It. Ain't that crazy?
Damn it, man. Kind of upset about that, man. Ruined my wet dream. Oh, well, you know what? That is a great dream. Never mind. Look at it. But you know what? We all for that, man. That was the pull up. Let your boys know what you think about any of the topics that we pulled up on. Our thoughts on it. Your thoughts on it. Anything we decided to skip over, let us know about that too.
Yeah, man. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back on the other side of that with our topic of the day.
Choo-choo.
What's up, everybody? This is Dan, a.k.a. Dan on Drugs.
And I am Afro Becky, a.k.a. Afro Becky. And we are the Black Law
and Legal Lies podcast, a weekly legal podcast for the culture.
Each week, we have conversations with our co-host, Anne, a licensed and practicing
/ ratchet-ass attorney, as well as myself, a rehabilitated criminal, and our lovely, esteemed moderator, Afro Becky.
Most of our topics are legal in nature, and we discuss them in a relatable way. We release new episodes every Tuesday.
Yo, you can find us anywhere podcasts are available.
Or you can find us on social media at Black Law Podcast. So check us out.
Or don't.
Hey!
What? Sometimes people do like the opposites.
Thank you for tuning back in to Oversaturated the Podcast. We're still here with episode 80. Johnny!
Yes, sir.
What's going on in the world, man? Kanye running for president, bruh.
Listen, man. I saw that shit. At first, I was like, all right, here this motherfucker go with this bullshit. Mm-hmm. But then I got to thinking, I recall him saying he was bipolar. Like Kanye West said that he is bipolar, right?
Well, that was the album rollout for Ye. Remember, he was like, "Oh, I'm bipolar, so here's my crazy 7-track album, and y'all go take it." Like that was the thing.
What if that's true, and this is like him, like not, I guess taking his medicine or whatever. I'm not sure the proper mm-hmm. thing to say here. But what if this is like a bipolar episode of this happening? Because I feel like Kanye is the person to go to that extreme to act out and say, hey, I'm about to run for president. Fuck it. Why not? Only Kanye West say some shit like that.
Well, I know. Do you remember when he got his MTV Vanguard Award? You remember he got that?
Is that the same year he did the Taylor Swift shit? No.
Nah, that was different. Like him and we were probably off the Ye train by then because he was crazy as shit. He was crazy. He was married to Kim by then. But he went on MTV when he accepted his award, and he pretty much said he was running for president then. So this isn't anything new coming from Kanye. Okay. He said this on MTV. Yeah, it was on MTV years ago. I can't remember if it was right before the 2016. It was a while ago, but it was funny.
Yeah.
He said he was running for president.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
But even with him saying that when he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you can't. I guess you technically you can, but it wouldn't be a smart decision for you to declare you're running for president the year of the election. It's only like 6 months left to the actual election. Like, are you really going to try to campaign in 6 months? Like,
well, I'll give you someone else that did that. He didn't. It wasn't successful. But Bloomberg, remember, he jumped out there and said he was running for president. And that was this year. He just dropped out. He didn't put his name out there until like late. And when they started doing debates, like that's where he came out.
Was that this year though? That wasn't last year. That wasn't like toward the end of last year.
That they've been. Did they do debates this year? Yeah, they had to do debates this year, right?
I don't know.
Michael Bloomberg, the
primaries to pick the actual Republican and Democratic candidates were this year. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they had to campaign for that last year and like had a debate.
But Bloomberg doesn't have to campaign because he's a billionaire. Yeah. That's why I said he just jumped out there and did it.
Interesting. But shit, that wasn't smart for him either. Like, he can't just jump out there and
say, I ain't saying that.
Fuck it.
I ain't saying he was smart for it. I mean, hey, but you don't have to raise campaign dollars. Hey, I can just, you know, fund my own shit. And that was his MO. Like, I'm gonna find my own shit.
That's crazy. And I even read like Kanye was too late in 7 of the states to even put his name on a ballot. So it's like,
oh, that's even greater. Like, I mean, that's fine because the last thing we need and to God's honest truth is another celebrity in chief. I know politicians aren't that much more better. But I don't think we need another celebrity, you know, to become president. And, you know, Donald Trump isn't the first one, you know, but we're good. Like, we're good. Let's just get us an old fashioned crooked politician. Like, let's just, you know, just be a little bit discreet with your shit. I don't want to be outward with the fuckery. Like,
the country will be in a better place for it. And it's fucked up. I got to say that, but if we just get a regular crooked politician like we've had in the past, the country will be better. Like, it's nuts. Like, this fool, all right, I'm sorry, but this fool pulled the United States out of the World Health Organization. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we really doing? And that's a tangent. That's my fault. But what are we really doing? I'm sorry. That shit pissed me off.
Well, let's go on transition to our actual main topic. Yeah. We were actually going to discuss hip hop for president, presidential candidates or whatever. Like, the whole Kanye thing just kind of sparked a thought between Johnny and myself. We just want to see what people that are hip hop representatives could possibly make it to the White House.
Yeah,
I think it'd be a fun conversation. Please, people, don't try and be too deep with this shit. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's a fun conversation.
It's a fun conversation, but Johnny, let's see where you start with who you kind of go.
So I feel like this is kind of obvious, or maybe to me, maybe not to anybody else. But the first person I thought of was Killer Mike. I think Killer Mike would make a decent president. We've seen him in the news, I would say the last couple years, of course, on the campaign trail with Bernie Sanders. We've seen him make numerous speeches about how the black community needs to organize, you know, get black banks, black funding, all this good stuff. Even down to his show, Trigger Warning, where he created, I think one of the later episodes, he created his own country, New Africa. and he, you know, he had citizens there, and he was basically running his own little country there, even going as far as to having an election for, I guess, the president of the country or whatever, and realizing that the people would choose him, but the young lady that ran against him would be the better candidate. So he rigged the vote for her to win because most people voted for him. Like, I think that makes a good leader. Knowing who would actually be a good leader in whatever scenario makes a person a good leader. Like, Killer Mike wouldn't just want to do everything himself. He will put people in position, and he will put people in his cabinet to run shit how it should be run, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like Killer Mike would make a dope president.
Oh no, I'm with that. Like, I actually don't disagree. I know he frequents with Magic City. I hope they don't hold that against him when he runs, you know. Listen. He's black man. Hey, black men aren't allowed to join shit, man. White politicians are.
This is true. I have to remember that.
I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of America, man.
America is nothing but hypocrisy. America is hypocritic.
That is true.
Yeah, man. It's nuts.
Well, you know, I'll get the low-hanging fruit out the way. Jay-Z, Sean Carter, Jigga Man Hov, whatever you want to call him. President Carter. He actually had a phase of his career where he's known as a president. So I see this as just a slam dunk. It's a layup. It's an open lane layup. But I mean, for the most obvious reasons, right? I think that, I mean, he's proven to be a stellar businessman, kind of cutthroat. So that definitely works in politics. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to show the whole, like, he's been polarizing to the fact where he can make controversial decisions, even when people don't agree with, like, the whole NFL thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People's pissed. Like, and there's another couple things that, you know, Hov has pissed people off about. But that being, I guess, the kind of like the biggest strike against him as a parent. Beautiful family. You know, people love, you know, family portraits. You know, got, you know, just get a first dog or something. We'll be out here. We'll be lit, baby. So
first dog, that's funny.
You know, I'm just saying, like, people love the family. Like, you know, you got a beautiful wife, three kids, lit. Like, what else do you want from them? Like, yeah. The ideal is there. Maybe not the politics, but, you know, that's something else.
Right. That's funny as hell. So, okay. So for my next one, right? So I actually tried to, like, do a little research to see if there were any people in hip hop that, like, actually had political aspirations, that actually tried to run and shit like that. So in my research, I found out that, hold on, let me see if I can get his real name. Hold up. Because I know that's what you like to do. Damn, I can't find it. Anyway, Rhymefest, Chicago MC.
Oh, okay.
He ran for, I think, alderman of the 20th ward in Chicago. He only lost by like 400 votes to whoever the incumbent was at the time. But from what I read, he had policies written up for the city, trying to get teachers paid more, bringing like music back into the schools and things like that. Cause a lot of that stuff had been defunded, or they cut the funding. So he had a plan to get his ward back, like, I guess, to where he once was at one point. And he even he met with a British prime minister to bridge the gap with hip hop, because whoever the prime minister was at that time, this was back in like 2006, I think, whoever the prime minister was at that time had issues with hip hop. So he went overseas to talk to this prime minister to help that prime minister understand, like, it's not what you think it is. It really does help the youth, and, you know, in these certain ways, point A, point B, point C. So I thought that was dope. So he already has experience with foreign leaders. So I think that he already better than Trump. Like, it's crazy. So I think Ron Fest will make a dope president.
Oh, damn, that's actually kind of fire. It's kind of left field. Like, a lot of people don't know about Ryan Fest, but
facts.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Now, he probably have to be like a Secretary of State or something first. Like, you just can't jump.
He can't just jump. From alderman to president.
And the reason, right, and the only reason it worked for Maze Gilliam.
I was going to say that. You took my joke.
I didn't know if you was gonna get it, but it's funny because with that, if I could put like a little bit of real sauce on there, right? Mm-hmm. Just with Ron Fest not being one of the, I guess a more well known rapper, mm-hmm. that would kind of like you gotta kind of, like you said, you gave me a lot of like facts, like a lot of track record shit. So it's like if he builds that house slowly, I can see like you know that scenario happen. That's all I would have to say about that. But no, like that's dope.
Yeah, I read it, I was like,
put a lot of thought into that. Like, yeah, that was dope.
I never would have known that had I not researched it. Like, I ain't know what the fuck Ron Fest was doing up there. Who the fuck think about Ron Fest? Shit ain't brand new.
That was good. That was a good one, man. That was good. Oh man, but no, I got my next one, man. Actually, this might be a little left field.
Okay,
I'm following.
Okay, I'm following.
Most Def.
Okay, I'm following.
Now, the spirit of America is born out of rebellion, right?
Fact.
It came from rebellion. That's just how we get down. Most Def, is his rhyme style, the reason he became popular was because it was anti-mainstream. He was birthed out of the backpack, the underground.
Right.
And I think that he would be a voice of the people, like on the ground. Now, I'm not saying he could be president right away. He would probably have to take steps kind of like you, like kind of like the Ron Fest. But at the same time, I think he's such a well-known rapper, lyricist, like not quite polarizing figure, but respected figure.
Got you.
To where people would listen. And Mos Def has such a cult-like following. I think that would just kind of, you know, push him up. And they're like, oh, Mos running? Like, I'm behind that. Mos Def for prez, man.
I think I'm rolling with it.
Yes.
I'm not mad at that. It's like he would run as like an independent, like the Green Party and shit.
Right, exactly.
I get that.
He definitely not running on no big ticket.
He would create his own party and shit. Like
Most gives that type of vibe.
It's funny you mentioned Mos Def because one of the other first people that popped in my mind was Talib Kweli. But it's like, once I thought about it, it's like, why do I feel that way? I don't know.
I think that's probably why maybe you felt that way. But I think Mos is obviously, I mean, obviously they're two sides of the same coin, but mm-hmm. I feel like Mos is the bigger star, gotcha. Which he is. So, you know, stardom has, you know, it has its perks.
Yeah.
I fuck with Mos on that tip.
That's what's up, man.
Wow.
Hey, okay. Talib Kweli's album Eardrum is still one of my favorite albums, like ever. Like that album was dope as fuck. Hey, all right, that's another tangent I want to get on right now.
That's a whole another tangent.
Yeah. So okay, so last person I have. Scarface. Now, Scarface actually ran for office in his city as well. And I cannot remember if he won or not from what I read. But he, similar to Ron Fest, he had the same type of policies written up for the city that he ran in, right? Better compensation for teachers. He had plans for the elderly outlined. Like he had a lot that he wanted to fix in his city. So because he even has the the experience in running for office. And Scarface is an OG in the game. Like Scarface, he has lived, he knows what's going on and shit in his city, in his state, and in America. Like he would know what to do to, you know, to figure shit out. And because he is such a prominent figure in hip hop, like I feel like it would be a no brainer that Scarface would be a dope president.
Oh no, I wholeheartedly agree with the Scarface pick. Scarface being one of the forefathers of Houston hip hop, you know, co-founder of the Ghetto Boys and had a phenomenal solo career too.
Yep.
Being as big of an influence to some of our favorite rappers. We may not have fucked with Scarface, but he influenced he influenced our rappers. So your favorite rapper's favorite rapper, you know. There's nothing bad you can ever say about Scarface, man. Scarface is a legend. He deserves to have all his flowers. And I can definitely see him being like somewhat of a politician down in Houston. Like, I'm glad, I mean, you brought that up, but I can definitely see that for him. Because I think he teaches like a college class too, or something like that too. Or am I thinking about Bun B? But I know Bun B
did it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Scarface did it as well. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all.
Man, salute to the guy, Brad Jordan, man. I don't know, man. Like, I just have nothing ever bad to say about Face, man.
Agreed. he's one of those elder statesmen in hip hop. It's like, you see him and you just, like, you just gotta just pay respect. Like, you just have to.
And one of the few elder statesmen that constantly puts out projects, and if you just blink, you missed it. But they're still quality, right?
Yeah.
You ever listen to Deeply Rooted? I know we're kind of getting off topic a little bit, but it's still
I don't know if I have. If I have, I don't know.
Deeply Rooted came out maybe 2018, something like that.
Okay.
Face. Yeah, it's there. Like, it's kind of like, you know how you would listen to, you know, they're not similar in any, you know, way, but you know how you would listen to like a Styles P project?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like it's fire. It's there. It's right there. It's nothing to really discuss. It's nothing to dissect. It's just Face doing him. So, Deeply Rooted is a, man, fire app.
Okay. I'm going to have to add that.
Definitely one of the fire albums of 2018. Now, this one, my last pick, hey, man, you can charge it to my head, not my heart.
Uh-oh.
I thought this was you know, an interesting pick. I'm actually going to go with Pusha T.
Okay.
Now, Pusha has had a long career, started out with clips, and has maintained a solo career without even putting out what you would say is a classic album. He has been relevant throughout, but this is not a hip-hop debate. This is presidential. Fair. Why do I think he can be president? I just think that Pusha T has a certain appeal, and he doesn't mind calling out the establishment on their bullshit, i.e. Drake. So why wouldn't somebody like that be a good president? I don't know. I just feel like Pusha T has it in. The young daughter, the family image is there. He might have to cut the braids. I hope he doesn't.
He wouldn't.
He ain't cut the braids. I ain't hair shaming the nigga because I'm, you know what my hair is looking like right now. But, you know, not, I'm off that. But, I mean, Pusha T knows what things are happening on the street level. Maybe he can circumvent the war on drugs. That was all my whole spiel for that. I got nothing else.
I got you.
if you want to eat for that pick, I got nothing else.
Nah, I'm rolling. Listen, some of the past presidents have been the biggest drug dealers in history. So why not put Pusha T in that scenario? Like, as a president, like. They can do it. He can do it. Goddamn.
All jokes aside, like, I feel like Pusha T would work on prison reform. That's really where that mindset came from. I know people call me crazy for that, but I feel like the prison reform will come into play. Like, the drug reform will come into play. Like, we can probably get some things done. I ain't saying he gonna snitch on the hood, but, you know, hey, let's make this thing better for the people in those situations.
I think all of these people that we mentioned, I feel like they will focus heavy on the United States, like prison reform, like, you know, making sure children are educated, like, properly, like making sure children are able to be creative, because children, like, and shit, I grew up in this system as well. Children are becoming more and more robotic when it comes to learning. And they're not able to express their creativity. So I feel like all of these people we named will focus so much on the United States and just pick people to focus on all the foreign shit. Because we ain't with that right now. We got to make sure we good here.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. I think a lot of the shit that will kind of fix the United States starts from within. Most empires crumble from within. So that's why the infrastructure always has to be strong. And one thing about the United States, from my POV, we have spread ourselves so thin with including ourselves in worldly affairs. Yep. Maybe it be for capitalism or the fight on terrorism, whatever you want to go with. But I just feel like with these presidential candidates, they will be more so for the people. And I think that's where this whole conversation even came from. We picked people that we feel like still for better or for worse, they wouldn't bomb countries for oil. They wouldn't certain shit like that just wouldn't be their focal point. Like, let's focus on within. Like, yeah, the Army, the Marines, our armed forces, they can stay strong. They can be on these outposts in these foreign countries, but let's worry about here.
Yeah, man. Even being so forward thinking as to looking at alternative energy sources, like, there's no reason we should still be using coal for shit. At all. Like, fam, like, what are we doing? That's insane. We're supposed to be one of the most technologically advanced countries on the planet, and we're
not even top. I mean, the only thing we have is, I mean, we're not even top in education. The only thing that's like top tier is the tuition for these schools, it's not. The education isn't on par with the rest of the world.
It's insane, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
No, man, that was, I know, man, that was done. That was fun, man. You ain't had no honorable mentions or nothing, because I had one more, but I don't really like my one more like that.
I don't have any honorable mentions.
Oh, okay, cool. Man, we'll leave it at three. We'll leave it at the three, yeah, bro. Yeah. But well, no, man, that was dope, man. That was fun conversation, bro. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, man. But you know, let us know what y'all think about our presidential candidates for hip hop. You know, that will represent, you know, hip hop in a great light in the White House. Let us know who you would pick if you had the chance. You know, kind of give us a little spiel.
Yeah, I want to hear it, because this was an interesting topic, and I want to know how everybody else's mind thinks when it comes to this type of topic. So yeah, this was dope. This was a little left field, but I enjoyed it.
right. But nah, man. We at the end of the episode now, ain't we?
Yeah. Real quick, you listening to any new music?
Usher's new single, I Cry.
Oh, I missed
Fire.
That. I missed it. Hold on.
Fire. I didn't even know it was. I think I saw you know how you on YouTube, and I saw it had a video. Now, I didn't look at the video. I just didn't really want to look at a music video at the time, but gotcha. I went to Apple Music and got the song. The song goes though to me, so what's I think it's a nice little vibe. I cry.
I bet.
Because you know, for a few weeks ago, he had the joint with not a few weeks, but a few months ago, I think toward the top of the year, he had the joint with LMA.
Damn, I missed that one too. Fuck, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm tripping.
Like, Usher was dropping songs, like, because he was getting ready to do a new album, and I think when COVID happened, it just kind of slowed down some of the heavy hitters, because, gotcha, you know, if Usher's dropping an album, tour coming, same with, you know, the hip-hop, you know, big dogs, too, they would have dropped, you know, whatever, you know, they would drop their albums. I think we talked about it, Kendrick or, you know, Big Sean or J. Cole, they was dropping this year, you know, Drake probably dropped some, too. All them niggas would have been on tour.
Facts.
So.
Facts.
But as far as like any other new music, I know you like the Kid Cudi Eminem joint.
Yeah, that's all hard. I ain't gonna front. Like, yeah.
It was when I first saw it, I was thrown off by it. Me too.
I think a lot of people were. And yeah. I was even kind of reluctant to click on it, because it's Kid Cudi Eminem. I never imagined them two on a song together. But Eminem, listen, if we thinking back to Eminem album this year, shit was fire. So I'm like, let me just go on and listen to it. And the production is dope. The beat is dope. And the way that they're actually rapping on the beat, like, I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. And Eminem had bars on there. So yeah. It's like, shit, it's a dope ass
song. Oh, no, he did. He did. He had a little current event bars, I call them. But I think Eminem rapped on the song. And like you said, it was just a weird combination. Like, I was like, Kid Cudi and Eminem, like, that don't even sound right.
It doesn't, but it worked, though.
It works. It's a dope collaboration from two artists that you do listen to. Well, mm-hmm. at least I don't know if you fuck with Cudi like that. But I listen to both of them, so I'm like, okay, it can't be bad. Right. You know, it can't be trash. But then again, I heard some trash collaborations. Like, you know, let's not remind everybody about Eminem and Beyonce. But, you know.
You ain't trying to walk on water? Shit.
Man, nah. Listen,
that song didn't have no drums.
You were drowned, bro.
Facts. But listen. Okay, so one album I want to talk about real quick. Shay mm-hmm. Noir, female rapper. I do not know where she's from. She's probably from New York somewhere. But she has an album with Apollo Brown.
Isn't Apollo Brown a producer?
Producer. Okay. He produced the entire album. The album is called As God Intended. Now, I've been following her for maybe about a year, maybe a little bit over a year now. She put out a couple, she put out like a mixtape and like a shorter album earlier this year. But this is like a full length album, and this album is fire. She's a phenomenal rapper. She's a phenomenal storyteller. Imagine Rhapsody mixed with Griselda. Is how I would describe this. This is a great album, and she has a song on here called 12 Hours. Storytelling song. Fire. Like, the story is dope. And it catches you off guard at the end. Like, it's dope as fuck. So I would implore everybody to check that out, especially the ladies. Ladies, if you like rap, you're going to like this album.
No, I'm going to check it out. I see she got a joint with Black Thought.
And yeah.
She has a joint with Sky Zoo. So, no, I'm going to check that out. Downloading it now.
Word. But yeah, that's all I got.
I'm going to go check that out, bro. But now I ain't been really, you know what's so crazy? I really haven't been listening to, like, I haven't been searching out new music right now. It's just it's just not something I really want to listen. I don't want to listen to anything new. I don't want to devote my time to anything new right now.
I feel that. I feel that.
It's like, I guess I'm just taking a break from it. Then, you know me, I'll get back to finding new shit. Like, you know, I can do a one-off single, but I ain't listening to nobody album, bro. Like, no new albums.
I'm the same.
Like, maybe this is just that. You know, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm just the same way, but because I've been following her for about a year and a half, like, and I knew she was dropping, I was like, nah, I need to check this out. And I'm glad I did, because the shit is fire. And the production on the album is dope, man. You got to let me know what you think about it when you listen.
I feel like this is the music off season, right? Mm. It is the height of the summer, but, you know, COVID just kind of threw off everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not really anticipating anything. I don't want to listen to, like, I just listened to a few joints, one-offs here and there, and then the albums that I fucked with early in the year. But the latest album I probably completely run back. It's not even, it's Pray for Paris. Like, I still listen to that.
Gotcha.
Other than, like, you know, it's joints here and there, but I just ain't, like, I'm not in the music mood. Like, if I'm a, like, because you know me, well, I think with one thing we kind of learned with doing this podcast, like, you know, you have your modes where you want to listen to a single, and then if you want to listen to a whole album, like, I know who I want to listen to for a whole album of, and I'm just not in that mode right now. Like, I'm kind of recharging, revamping, and then because when we get back into that bag of listening to shit, you know, at least I'll be okay. And then, you know, we on our Breaking the Wire shit too. So it's like, we ain't, maybe I'm just not listening to music.
I'm not even catching up on, like, my shows that I'm watching, because I'm knee deep into The Wire and Breaking Bad. So it's like, damn. And plus, we need a break from new music anyway, especially the way 2017 to 2019 went. Like, this is a long-awaited break from new music.
Yeah. So let's just enjoy this month off from, you know, any new projects. And then maybe in August it'll pick back up. But now, we appreciate anybody that's checked out Breaking the Wire, man. It was a fun part one. You know, part two would be definitely, you know, following this episode. So that'll be episode 81 of Oversaturated.
Yeah, man. Well, good, man. Well, with that, that's episode 80. Got anything else for the people?
Oh, you know, man, as I call to action, you know, if you made it this far, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please, you know, leave us a rating. Hopefully it's 5 stars. You know, if this video makes it to YouTube, make sure you like, you know, like it, share, you know, comment, all that great stuff. You know, follow us on any social media platform, Oversaturated Podcast, you'll get to us.
Facts. All right. With that, that's episode 80.
Eighty.
And we out.
Yeah.
Peace.